what they know about them Texas boys.
You're listening to the most dangerous show in Texas, Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn.
Wherever you are, however you may be listening, it is now Fight Night. Welcome to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com. I'm your host, Eddie Cross. You can find me on Twitter at EddieExperience, one E in the middle. Joining me as always, he spends his evenings yelling at kids that aren't his, Mr. Jordan Wahlberger. Jordan, how's it going?
It's going very well. It's going very well. It's back here over my shoulder. It's great to see you, Eddie. Guys, you can find us at Fight Night ATX on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. You can find me at Nonstop MMA. Eddie, I'm exhausted, my friend. I am tired. It's been a long week.
Please tell me more.
So I think I
know
you
had the week before you were preparing a house for sale, and that went through. Well, it's going through.
Yeah,
and you left your wife to do half the work.
So we're still under contract, which is obviously great news. But last week, I think I told you that my wife was gone at a camp for a church, a girls' camp that she was in charge of. Well, she didn't come back.
She already go? I thought she was going. Yeah.
Yeah. She had already left at that time. She didn't come back until Saturday. Saturday afternoon. So it was Monday through Saturday for me. I was tired, man. It was a long week. On top of that, we had our house inspected, and so I couldn't let the kids do anything in the house. I was like, "Hey, no, you can't touch this. You've got to keep it. Don't mess anything up. No, you can't play. You can't do this." So it was very much a week of just, "Hey, we've got to get out of the house. We've got to go away. We've got to keep things clean." Now that the inspection's over, now we're kind of back to normal. Now we're kind of back to chaos here.
Back to crayons on the wall and doll clothes everywhere. And
oh man, yeah.
Kobe the dog is pooping.
Not in the house, thankfully. Thankfully, not.
Have you cleaned the hot tub lately?
I will not clean the hot tub again. But when we move out, my recommendation for them will to be remove the water and replace it. But that's what I mean. That's what I would do, right? If I was moving,
you're not taking the hot tub with you?
No, we're actually not taking the hot tub with us. We are leaving the hot tub here.
Man, so I never get to join you for a UFC event in the hot tub. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, no.
You're just dashing my hopes, Jordan.
No, we'll do a. We won't. Not this year, Eddie. But the plan is to put a big pool in come fall, and so we'll have a TV, and we'll do it either in the pool, or we'll do it in the hot tub next year.
I don't want to say it sounds good. It sounds. Yeah.
We won't be so close. Maybe we can be in the pool, wide away from each other. We don't have to be right next to each other in the hot tub.
It is a plan. It is a good plan.
So.
Yeah. I had kind of an active weekend for the first time in a while. I went to a buddy's house. We were hanging out and somehow ended up watching James Madison and Oklahoma State play softball in the Women's College World Series.
Just normal stuff. That's normal.
Yeah, you know, things you do. It was an exciting game. It really was. Saturday, I went to the Texas baseball game. They're playing Arizona State in the regional. We won that like 10-3. By the way, Horn fans, Texas will be facing South Florida this weekend in the Super Regional. As of this moment, we don't have dates yet, but guaranteed there will be no horns down because for some reason the South Florida Bulls have co-opted our hook'em signal. They've co-opted the hook'em, Jordan.
So it's all going to be hook'em. All horns
all
everywhere.
All horns up.
Okay.
Everywhere.
I like
everywhere.
That.
Yeah. And then Sunday I went to Canyon Lake to meet my cousin's kid for lunch. I didn't realize there was an actual town there.
I don't even know where that is.
Just the lake and some cabins. Yeah. See, exactly. I've been here, 40-something years, and I've never been to Canyon Lake until now.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Nice little resort town. It's kind of cool.
Drake, my son, he went paintballing for the first time. He was very nervous. He was very nervous that it was going to hurt, that he was going to get hit with a paintball. And you know, he was playing, and it turns out that a lot of the balls, they didn't break on him, which that's making it more painful when they hit you and bounce off. So he didn't get out. But he does have bruises, a bruise on his chest, on his arm, on his leg. But in the end, he had a really good time with some friends. He went there for a birthday party.
Oh, so that's funny. Yeah, I've been going on a post-COVID ticket buying spree. So to this point, I've bought tickets to see comedian Roy Wood Jr., Round Rock Express tickets, the Bears preseason game in Tennessee. This week, I'm buying tickets to the Counting Crows and Revolution. Both will be playing at the new Moody Amphitheater in Waterloo Park. 311 times 2, Austin and Red Rocks. And comedian Bert Kreischer at the Paramount in December. Bought that one, too. You might need to stop me.
Are you going to go see Chris Redd when he comes from SNL? I think he's coming to Paramount as well, right?
I had to kind of choose where I wanted to spend my money. And I am choosing Counting Crows over Chris Redd.
Okay.
Does that show my age?
Yeah, it does. It does probably a little bit. We are still waiting. We've had tickets to see a comedy show, Trey Kennedy. I don't know if you know who he is, Eddie. He's on Instagram. But we've had tickets since, I think, before the pandemic. And the show got postponed. And then it got postponed again. And then it got postponed again. And I think we're going eventually in November. So my wife, I got our tickets for her birthday. And we will be there maybe in November. Maybe it'll get postponed again in San Antonio. So that's exciting as well.
Oh, in San Antonio. Sheesh. Yeah,
got to go down to the El Azteca for that one.
You're going
to
spend a whole weekend there? Get a hotel on the Riverwalk.
Man, I've got kids, Eddie. So that's the one thing we've got to figure out. So never know. We got to figure out what to do with the kids. Speaking of the kids,
all those wrestling t-shirts.
Yeah. Speaking of the, I got rid of all my wrestling t-shirts. I sold them.
What? Are you a grown up?
Yeah. I put them on eBay, and I put them on eBay, and they for a while, and I didn't even remember that they were on eBay, and then all of a sudden I got your item has sold, and money's in your PayPal account. And I was like, what's sold? And I was like, oh, my wrestling shirts. So I had to go to the attic and pull the box of wrestling shirts. And I think it cost me like $30 to ship, which I built into the plan because it was it was a lot. And I think I made like $100 on my shirts.
You sold the whole box at once?
I definitely lost money. I lost money that overall.
Oh, yeah.
But in the end, it was, it was time. I hadn't worn them for years and I probably should have given them to Stu, but I didn't.
And now your wife can look you in the face like you're a real man.
Things I kept.
What about the belts?
What's that?
What about the wrestling belts?
The wrestling belt I still have. The wrestling buddies. I told you I have a John Cena and a Sting.
Oh, yeah.
Wrestling buddy. I haven't sold those yet. What else do we have? We have a big Andre the Giant.
Are they on eBay?
They're not yet. I've been so busy. We have a big Andre the Giant towel, or no, blanket, that has his life's his handprint and his footprint on it. Drake uses that.
Please tell
me
it's on your bed.
No, that one is not on my bed. I'm trying to think.
She'd have kicked you out of the house so fast.
Other thing, I think I have some Macho Man socks somewhere. I did keep my Rock shirt that has the Rock in the fanny pack on it. So.
Oh, hey, I've got a Macho Man beanie and scarf that you gave me.
I did give you that too.
Still got those.
Yeah. So, well, Eddie, Mayweather versus Paul, Floyd Mayweather, Logan Paul.
Speaking of foolishness,
we got taken. All of us did. Everyone got taken over the weekend. Thinking it was going to be one thing that maybe Floyd Mayweather would come in there and knock him out. The whole time he said, this is going to be a exhibition. This is going to be fun. We didn't believe him. We thought that he was actually going to knock him out, but turns out he was telling the truth the whole time.
Was he though? You only really got taken if you had never watched Roy before. It's not like he's an exciting fighter. He doesn't come out there just throwing barrages of punches.
Did you see what he did to Tenshin back in Rizin? He murdered him in the first round.
That was also a guy that was like 20 pounds smaller than him.
But like a combat sports like guy who knows how to like put a punch together.
Yeah, but he's also better at kicking than he is punching. But again, they're weight classes for a reason. And this fight reminded us of that this weekend. Because even though Floyd did land some good punches, his power does not translate to a guy that weighs 190 pounds.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
Floyd
know.
Floyd came in at his heaviest at like 155.
Yeah, I don't know if it doesn't translate at that weight. It just, he didn't throw enough, right? 71 punches were the total punches landed between both fighters. I think, Floyd, I think I saw he threw 107, only landed 43. That's pretty, in 8 rounds, that's not a lot of punches. Logan Paul, he threw 217 punches. He only landed 28, so not a lot of
Floyd,
landing.
Floyd, you only can count 6 rounds because he took the first 2.5 rounds off.
He felt like he took the last couple off too. I mean, I think he only landed like 2 punches in the 8th and like 3 in the 7th. 3, 4, and 5 were his big rounds. He landed 9, I think 10, and like 13, respectively in those rounds.
Well, there's a reason he didn't try to do much in the 7th and 8th, and that's because he basically knocked Logan Paul out at the end of the 6th.
Yeah,
I've seen that video.
I did see that. I don't know what to think, and I didn't. I want to go back and watch it like a little bit longer to see. The one video I saw makes it look like it's a good case, but some other angles, some other views make it look that that's just a foolish request. So, it wasn't the most exciting fight.
It wasn't. And let me tell you, Logan Paul, he did a good job of going to the Roy Jones Jr. school of trying not to get knocked the heck out, because he held like a pro.
Exactly. After the fight, I think Floyd Mayweather said, you know, he was asked about Logan. He's like, oh, Logan Paul, he's good at holding. He's a good grappler.
Yeah. I mean, it's part of the reason Roy couldn't throw punches, because Paul was holding his arms for dang near half the fight. At least most of the second half, really.
Yeah. Floyd didn't try to finish the fight. You know, he was exciting against Conor McGregor. That was a fun fight, right? The fight against Tension, obviously, that was good. So, yes, I know he has historically been a defensive boxer. He's been kind of boring. But the last few fights with Floyd, you know, Floyd could finish this fight whenever he wants. After the fight, you know, he said, look, you know, you can say all you want. These guys, these boys think that just because they went the distance, they won. And that's good for them. Like, he doesn't care, right? He doesn't care what happens. He's like, look, just look at, let's look at the bank accounts at the end of this. We'll see who actually won the fight based on the money that he's going to make.
Well, let me tell you, Logan Paul won just by this event happening. And it's the dumbest thing that is probably going to happen this year. And it happened. So he won on that account. And the fact that he went the distance is definitely a moral victory.
I mean,
phantom knockout or not.
Jake Paul versus Ben Askren, also kind of dumb.
Yeah.
Do you sense a theme here?
Ben Askren is not the greatest boxer ever.
Do you see a theme here of who is involved in these dumb things that are happening?
Yeah, and unfortunately, it's us. We're involved in it.
We are the dumb ones.
And I feel dirty.
Because we are the ones that watch, and we are the ones that pay, and we are the ones that keep pushing this forward.
Well, we watch. Which reminds me, lots of people couldn't even stream the fight because the Showtime app and the Showtime website just crashed on it. So if you're one of those people, go to showtime.com/help for info and requesting a refund.
Yeah, the same thing happened with the McGregor fight, if you remember. Logan Paul, after the fight, was asked if he would do MMA. Obviously, he said, yeah, my base is wrestling. I like wrestling, and I would love to do MMA. Bellator president Scott Coker, he said that, you know, he would welcome him. Obviously, in Bellator. Bellator is a Showtime product, so if he's already under contract with Showtime, he could easily make that transition. You saw a lot of Bellator fighters there over the weekend as well. But just so we're on the same page, right? The UFC, like, we're not going to virtue signal here. The UFC is not above this. The UFC can't come out and be like, oh, I would never do this. Remember, CM Punk, James Toney, they both fought in the UFC. Like,
Kimbo Slice was on The Ultimate Fighter.
If it's a money grab, it's a money grab. Speaking of UFC fighters, though, you had fighters like Francis Ngannou.
Conor McGregor fight is a money grab.
Well, I mean, but he has skills, right? He's a former champion.
I know, but still.
But you had former fighters like Francis Ngannou talk about, you know, the pay gap between Logan Paul making $20 million for just an exhibition, saying, look, what is happening? What are we doing wrong that Logan Paul can make this kind of money? Now, I understand the criticism, but Logan Paul is a much more, you know, exponentially more popular fighter or more popular person than any UFC fighter. Maybe, you know, you think about like the card this weekend, probably has more followers than every single person on the card combined.
Oh, definitely. But you know what's funny is Leslie Smith probably threw her phone when she read that. You know, she tried to start a union of fighters in 2018 and basically got released for it. And what you're doing wrong is no one's teaming up. Guys keep undercutting each other. And as much as I love Derek Lewis, the Beast saying he'll take the title fight when John Jones is stooping for trying to get more money, saying he'll take it for like half of that, is basically the problem.
You know what's funny?
And now, I definitely want to see the Beast win that title, but that is the problem.
When you just said Leslie Smith must have been throwing her phone, my immediate thought was that you were referring to Leslie Jones. And I was like, why would Leslie Jones? Why is Leslie Jones throwing her phone? That doesn't make any sense. I don't understand why she would be throwing her phone in this situation.
You forgot who Leslie Smith is. She just fought Cyborg, Jordan.
I mean, did she, though, really fight, or did she just kind of show up there in the event? So, Eddie.
I mean, she made it the whole way almost.
What else? I mean, sure. Just like Mayweather, you know, Cyborg let her be there. Eddie, what did you think? Anything else about Floyd versus Logan Paul? After the fight, Floyd said, look, I'm not going to be doing any more exhibitions. I'm not going to be doing boxing anymore. But he was also asked about, like, Conor McGregor over the weekend. And, like, would you do a rematch against Conor? To which he said, yeah, he would do that.
Well, that would be a pro fight, though, not an exhibition, right?
Well, he said he's done with boxing in general. He definitely said, I'm not going to box anymore.
Well, he shouldn't be boxing anymore. I mean, dude's, what, 44, 45?
44, almost 45. A grandpa.
Yeah, dude. Let it go. He said, I hear he made like $30 million just off his sponsors Sunday.
Yeah,
let
just
alone
on his shorts.
The purse. Yeah, and the pay-per-view. So easily cleared 50 mil. Let it go, man.
Yeah.
I know he needs a spotlight, though.
Yeah. Hey, Chad Johnson, in his debut, right, it was an exhibition fight again, no winner. Chad looked pretty good, right, at least through the first, you know, three rounds. He did get dropped in the fourth round. What did you think of Chad Johnson out there, Ocho Cinco?
I think Chad looked really good. He looked really relaxed. You know, he looked like he belonged there, you know, on the lower level, obviously. But, you know, if you're scoring that fight, Chad won 38-37. I mean, even you get lose a 10-8 in the fourth for being dropped.
Yeah.
But he won those first three rounds easily.
Yeah. Badu Jack, and he defeated Dervin Colina. That guy, Colina, just was brought in on short notice. I think he was Pascal, who Badu Jack was supposed to fight. He tested positive for all sorts of things. And so he was out of the fight. And then Luis Arias, he defeated Jarrett Hurd. That was kind of, you know, I know Hurd didn't like the decision, but in the end, that was a good win for Luis Arias. Anything else,
and
Floyd Mayweather?
A good fight to watch.
Yeah. Anything else from Mayweather versus Logan Paul?
I love the fact that Twitter is clowning on Jake Paul for claiming that his brother won the fight. At least the idiots on Twitter are ganging up on him for being stupid.
Yeah.
I like that.
All right. Well, hey, let's jump over. Let's go to UFC Las Vegas 28. This was Saturday night. Jairzinho Rozenstruik defeated Augusto Sakai. 1 second left, Eddie, in the first round. Jairzinho proves that he still can be a dominant force. I know Sakai, I think it was ranked ninth going into the fight, but Jairzinho is still a very tough out in the division. He deserves to be ranked right kind of near the top where we see him, but we see that he has that, you know, that kickboxing background, that speed. He was able to kind of push the pace in the last few seconds of the first that led to that stoppage. Rozenstruik obviously coming off that loss to Ciryl Gane, so he's not going to jump that cue, right? You got Ciryl Gane. I want to say he's fighting Volkov next.
I believe that's correct.
But I wouldn't mind seeing him fight, and I think he called out Curtis Blaydes. I like that fight. What did you think about this performance for Jairzinho?
For the most part, it didn't do much for me until like the last 10 seconds, which is funny, but that's how quickly a heavyweight can end the fight like that. And it was kind of ugly and sloppy at the end. But man, he doesn't have to hit you full speed. He doesn't have to put everything behind his punches. If he connects, you're going to feel it. And that's what makes the heavyweight division so much fun.
Yeah, you think
even
about
down, he was ranked number 6, mm-hmm. and he could knock someone out like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's got losses to guys like the champion, Francis Ngannou. That's a quick loss. I want to say 251 maybe last year. And then you had, he has a loss to Ciryl Gane. But above him, you have Stipe Miocic, Derek Lewis, obviously he's going to get the title, Ciryl Gane, Curtis Blaydes, Alexander Volkov. So maybe you put that, maybe you do that fight against Blaydes. He's obviously not ready for a title yet.
It would be interesting if Stipe was actually interested in keeping busy and actually taking a fight before he gets to the title shot again.
Yeah.
If he took on Rozenstruik, that would be fun to watch.
Yeah, I like that fight too, right? I think that would be a fun one. That's if Stipe wants to play ball there. Marcin Tybura defeats Walt Harris. Man, you know, great for Tybura, but you got to feel bad. I feel bad for Walt Harris. You want him, you know, obviously the tragedy that happened in his life, you know, three fights in a row since that, now he's lost. There's got to be so much pressure just to get that first win. It's tough, man. I wanted to see him win that fight. And he looked like he was doing really well. And he had Tybura on the ropes. And Tybura was able to kind of withstand that punishment. And then he was able to take him down. And that was like the beginning of the end.
Yeah, and you almost feel like it's surprising that Harris fought so quickly after his family tragedy. Didn't feel quick. But now you look back on it, it's like deaths like that take a long time to get through. And I know you have to keep busy to keep your mind off of it, but you got to wonder exactly how much you put into it emotionally.
Yeah.
And he said he had a good training camp. He's thinking about moving out to, was it Albuquerque or Vegas for permanently?
I don't remember now.
Yeah, that sounds right. Maybe that change will do him some good.
Yeah.
And maybe just kind of getting a lower level opponent to kind of work his way back up.
Yeah, last
time. The UFC does not give you warm up fights.
Yeah, last time we saw him win, it was in front of us actually, in San Antonio against Alexei Linick. That was a 12 second fight. But flipping over to Tybura, we mentioned that he's now won 5 fights in a row. It goes back to 2019. He actually lost to main eventer here, Augusto Sakai, first round KO. But he does have wins over, you know, Walt Harris, Greg Hardy, Ben Rothwell, Maxim Grishin, and then Sergey Spivak. I didn't realize, though, that Marcin Tybura, he fought four times last year. Like, we don't think about that. Like, he's not a guy that I remember seeing all the time during the pandemic, but he fought before, and then he fought twice in Abu Dhabi and once in Vegas. Maybe you could fight the loser of Ciryl Gane versus Volkov, or, you know, maybe you put him in a rematch. He actually lost to Shamil Abdurakhimov back in 2019, so I don't think he has, you know, you could put them matched back up together for a,
either those
for a
rematch there. And you could put Walt Harris against Augusto Sakai.
Yeah, that could
perfect matchup for those two guys.
A matchup back there. Santiago
fall out of the top 15.
Yeah, Santiago Ponzinibbio defeated Miguel Baeza. Eddie, I told you this was a fight I was really looking forward to going into it, and the fight delivered. Maybe a fight of the year contender. Baeza came in the fight undefeated. He won the first round, but Ponzinibbio was able to kind of figure it out. He kept his, you know, the fight standing, and these guys just threw bombs back and forth. And, you know, it was like waiting for a guy to drop just because of the shots that each of them were taking. I've been pretty high on Baeza, so I think that's actually a good barometer to show that he can keep it up with a guy like Ponzinibbio, who we've all thought really highly of. Ponzinibbio was out for 26 months. I know he came back and lost to Lin Jingliang, but this is a good showing for him as well to get back on a winning track over a good prospect.
And you really have to hand it to Ponzinibbio for surviving. I think he took almost like 15 leg kicks in the first round. You know, Baez was just peppering him the whole time. And I was surprised that he was able to keep it on his feet for three, four rounds and still throw bombs like he did at the end.
Yeah, no, I agree. Alir Latifi got the split decision win over the big Canadian Tanner Boser. And Montana De La Rosa, he put it on Ariana Lipsky.
Oh, my God. That turned into like a Ric Flair Crimson Mask fight. Oh. Yeah.
Anything else you want to highlight from what's that?
A lot of people had issues with the mat being a little slick on Saturday night too, so that was kind of weird. I saw at one point, I think it was the Ponzinibbio fight, them actually sliding around outside the black line.
Yeah.
I'm just like, whoa.
Well, all right, Eddie. That was Floyd Mayweather versus Logan Paul and UFC Las Vegas 28. Guys, you're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn. HornFM.com. We're going to come right back with tons of news. We'll be back.
It's What's Up With That.
Woke up this morning and I got out of bed. Had a big old cup of coffee to clear my head. Been home for a while and that's where I'm at. But we can still jam on What's Up With That. Ooh-wee. What's up with that? 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 You, yeah. Woo! Well.
And welcome back to Fight Night at 104.9 The Horn and HornFM.com. I'm Eddie. That's Jordan. And you know, real quick, Jordan, we'd mentioned comedian Chris Redd a little earlier. He's coming to the Paramount this summer, and he's on SNL. This is where we usually have our SNL talk. But one of the main reason I didn't pick to go see him is because I don't think I've ever seen him do stand-up. So I felt like I'd be kind of taking a shot there.
Yeah.
At spending my money. But I love him as an actor. Just haven't seen his stand-up yet.
You like him on Keenan.
Yeah. It's not bad. As a sidekick, though. I don't know if he's a main guy.
All right. We'll
find out. I guess we'll find out. Speaking of main guys, Tyron Woodley versus Jake Paul, I refuse to put it the other way around, is official. Details of the fight circus have been released. What's up with that?
Yeah, we talked about this last week. It had just broke, right? So we didn't know much about it at that time. So the fight, originally we heard it's expected to take place August 28th, although there is a little bit of debate about whether Showtime actually already has something on that same date. Steven Espinoza said something about that. But what we do know, it'll be contested at 190 pounds. Remember, Tyron Woodley, 170-pounder. It's a 20x20 ring with 10-ounce gloves. It's going to be a pro bout, so it's going to be official. Jake Paul, still the favorite at the moment. There's a rematch clause for Jake Paul if he wants to take up Tyron on it. So Tyron doesn't get the rematch clause if he loses, but Jake Paul, if he loses, he can choose to do a rematch clause if he wants to. Tyron said that's obviously the biggest payday of his career. He gets seven figures just as a base, also gets a cut of the pay-per-view. Dana White was asked about the fight on the Mike Zwick podcast, and he said that, you know, Tyron Woodley has punching power and he should knock out Jake Paul. He definitely dropped him down a few pegs there. He said, hey, he hasn't won a fight in 3 years. Doesn't look like the Woodley that was knocking guys out. One other thing that I was going to say, there's a face-off last week. I'm not sure if you caught it. Between Woodley and Paul, it was definitely intense, and I hate to say it. I'm kind of looking forward to the fight. It hyped me up. At one point, I think Jake offered Tyron a bet. He said that if Tyron wins, he would double his purse. If he loses, he has to donate his entire purse to the charity of Jake's choosing. Obviously, Tyron did not say anything to that. Obviously, it's a no-win situation. You really can't say anything and come out looking great. So Jake put him in a bad spot there.
Yeah, and see, Jordan, you're the problem. That face-off made you excited for this fight. You're the problem.
This fight is competitive.
You're the reason this stuff keeps happening.
But this fight, this is actually a real fight, Eddie. This is a competitive fight. And this is the guy that
It's the realest fight Jake Paul has had, is what you're saying.
So when Jake Paul beats Tyron Woodley, what are you going to say? That it wasn't competitive? That Tyron Woodley is washed?
I didn't say it wasn't competitive. I said it's the best fight that Jake Paul has had.
Yeah, but I just
which
said
isn't really saying much.
But I said it's competitive. This is a competitive fight. That's what you want to see.
Yeah, we think it's competitive. Have we seen Jake Paul fight more than 2.5 minutes?
No, we're going to find out what happens. Yeah. We're going to find out what happens. This fight seems a lot more competitive.
I'll give it to you. The first 2 minutes will be competitive. I'll agree with you on that,
at least for now. Tyron Woodley might be laying on the floor after those 2 minutes. That might be all that Jake Paul needs.
It's good for Tyron. He's been chasing a big money fight for a long time. And the UFC just kept refusing and made him take, you know, whoever was next in line. He couldn't get any of the Diazes. He couldn't get Connor. He couldn't get GSP. He couldn't get Bisping. You know, so at least he's finally getting his payday to kind of walk off into the sunset on.
Yeah. Jake might put him out to the sunset. Mike Bisping said that he was offered the fight.
We're gonna make a
bet. Offered $500,000. It actually sounded like the offer came in, though, before the Askren fight. But obviously, with Mike's eye issues, that would be the last thing I would ever want to see. No commission should ever let Michael Bisping box, especially against a guy who's like 22, you know, 23 years old.
And that's what they do. They pick guys who they think have a weakness that they can beat, but they have a name. In this case, oh, he's got one eye. You know, he's maybe the best boxer in middleweight history, but, oh, he's got one eye. So, yeah. In a boxing match, even Mike Bisping at this age would dust whichever Paul it is, Randolph Mortimer, whichever one. But with his eye, no, not cool at all, man. Now, Jordan, this one I know you're excited about. The Ultimate Fighter is back. It came back last week on ESPN+. I know you watched it. Let us know. What's up with that?
Eddie, I watched it, man. I sat at home, I turned on ESPN+, and I watched from beginning to end the new Ultimate Fighter season. And let me tell you.
Now, were your eyes open?
It was exactly the same as every other Ultimate Fighter season. And you would think, after being gone for 3 years or so, that maybe they would change it up, right? Maybe have a little bit different, you know, make it something a little bit more unique. But it was exactly the same tropes. They go to the UFC. They go to the house. Instead of going to the tough gym, they went to the Apex. So it's a much nicer area as well. So that's good. But I'm going to continue to watch it. I mean, obviously there's going to be the drama between the fighters, but I really care about the Ortega versus Volkanovski fight. And so I want to see the dynamic as they build it up. Volkanovski, you know, talking some crap about Ortega on the Joe Rogan podcast. Ortega firing back. He called him, he compared him to Urkel online, which is near and dear to my heart. Eddie, I watched 3 episodes of Family Matters tonight. So I am, we are right in the thick
of. Did you have some purple Urkel?
No, we did not do that.
Gonna get some next time you go to Vegas.
With my kids, we are right in the middle of watching Family Matters right now. So I'm going to keep watching it, though. But on the show, middleweight Andre Petroski, he submitted Aaron Phillips with a guillotine choke. So it's I will tell you, Eddie, how Ultimate Fighter is going forward. And look,
you will have to, because I couldn't care less about the dynamic between Volkanovski and Ortega. I could try to care less. I would not succeed.
I don't believe
you.
What
I do care about.
I don't believe you. I think you care less about Jake Paul than you do about Volkanovski versus Ortega.
Ooh, you're right about that.
Yeah, I know.
But about that one, I could care less. You know what I do care about? Invicta. They're testing out fan voting to determine some upcoming matchups for this tournament. What's up with that?
Yeah, Eddie, you are our official Invicta reporter, and so I can't wait for the recap that you give us this next week. But Invicta, they're planning on crowning their new number one contender in the atomweight division. With the upcoming Phoenix tournament this Friday night. It's going to be on Axis TV. Previously, it was a random draw, right, to determine the matchups. But they've opened up voting. They opened up on Monday on the Invicta website. It's going to end an hour before the ceremonial weigh-ins on the 10th. The fighters will then be informed of who their first round matchup is going to be at the weigh-ins. And so in the next round, though, whichever fighter scores the fastest finish in these quarterfinals, they get to decide who they face in the semifinal. And if there was no stoppages in the quarterfinals, just they would have to go back to that random draw. So not bad. I mean, I like how we're trying to add in fans and voting. Kind of sucks for the fighters, right? I mean, if you're doing a draw anyways, it doesn't really matter. But if it's, I mean, that's never a good way to get the best out of your fighters if you don't tell them who they're fighting until the day before.
Very true. And hopefully we can continue to see their open scoring that they've been experimenting with, which I've always been a fan of. Now, we talk about fanhood, Jordan. Your fanhood, your fandom for the future UFC featherweight champ. Your prediction took a hit for who you thought would be featherweight champ at the end of the year. That was a roundabout way of getting to that point. My bad. What's up with that?
Yeah, so hey, just real quick, Eddie, remember, you picked Brian Ortega to be your champion at the end of this year. So you do care. You do care a little about who...
I don't care about their dynamic.
Just saying, you do care. You want to see who can best the other one. But I picked Zabit Magomedsharipov. And last month we saw that he was removed from the UFC featherweight rankings. There's been a little bit rumors about his fighting career. You know, what's going to happen with him next? There's been no decision yet on his career, but according to his manager, he does have health issues. And they had to delay a surgery because his immune system is not strong enough to recover. Now, they never said anything about COVID or if it has anything to do with that, but he is trying to fight some sickness. And it's unlikely that he's going to fight this year again. So obviously my pick for him to be champion, probably not going to happen. But there's also a risk that he never fights again. He says, look, we're going to get healthy and I'm not willing to fight unless he's 100% healthy. So we'll see.
Man, he could be like MMA's Bo Jackson. How's that for showing my age?
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, well, speaking of old guys, Vitor Belfort is done with one championship and is now boxing. What's up with that?
Yeah, now this is bad, right? So Vitor Belfort hasn't fought in the UFC since he lost to Lyoto Machida back in May 2018. He signed with one championship back in March 2019. There were some rumors of some fights, but he actually never fought, and now he has parted ways with one, and he signed with Triller, and he's going to fight Mike Holston, who is I don't know who this person is. They call him the real Tarzan, who he's a extreme zookeeper. Maybe he's a former zookeeper, and he's a animal whisperer. but he's going to fight on the same card as Teofimo Lopez versus George Gambassos. I think that should be a name, extreme zookeeper. And Holston's obviously not a fighter. And he does have 6 million followers on Instagram and 850,000 subscribers on YouTube. So that's all it needs now to get into combat sports. You just had to be a popular person. There was a video posted of Holston getting into a confrontation. And yes, Eddie, I am using air quotes on that. That he goes into his gym and Belfort gets in his face. And surprise, they tagged Triller on it. And surprise, surprise, the bout was announced the very next day. So he is fighting a couple weeks boxing. Belfort has boxed before, though, so this is not his first fight.
Now, do we know this will be TRT Vitor?
I mean, why would it not be? I mean, he was going to fight in one. Why would it not be, Eddie?
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Oh, Vitor's going to kill him. How about we have Jake Paul fight Vitor? That would be fun. Ooh,
that's scary.
He's got no known weaknesses, right?
A lot of... You got to do the testing there. Hey, Eddie, real quick, happy trails to Tito Ortiz, who resigned from the Huntington Beach City Council last week. He is he's moving on. And congrats to Henry Cejudo. He is engaged, and he's going to become a father. So
let's say both those got what they deserve.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, couple new fights. Yancy Medeiros, he is going to fight Demir Hadzovic, UFC Fight Night, June 26th. Carlos Condit coming back, fighting Max Griffin, July 10th, UFC 264. You got Kayla Harrison fighting Cindy Dandois, PFL 6, June 25th. And Henan Ferreira, that's the guy who got disqualified or the no contest against Fabricio Werdum. He thought he was going to get a rematch against Werdum in the second round. They matched him up against the guy who won this, Ali Isaiev. And Werdum is out of the tournament. At least he's out of the second round. He's injured. And so not sure what's going to happen there, if he'll make it back. So, guys, you're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com, and we will be right back.
Until next time, hey, 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 hey. Ooh. What's up with that? What's up with that?
The champ is here.
Welcome back to Fight Night, 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com. Eddie, it's a lot of fights this weekend. We got Thursday, we got Friday, we got Saturday, and no, I'm not counting Wednesday for Tough. That does not count as a fight night. That is a TV show I will be watching. But Eddie,
you're not even counting the Shakur Stevenson fight on Sunday. That's boxing.
UFC 263 taking place, Arizona, Israel Adesanya versus Marvin Vettori, middleweight title, Deiveson Figueiredo versus Brandon Moreno, flyweight title. Both of these are rematches. We've got another five-round fight on there, the very first ever non-main event, non-title fight, five-round fight card, five-round fight. Eddie,
quick. I'm tired just hearing that.
Quick trivia question. Who was the first fight to be a five-round main event that wasn't for a title?
Was it Conor and Nate?
It definitely was not. That was a main event.
Oh, you said not a main event.
Oh, excuse me. It was a main event. It was not the first. It wasn't anywhere near the first.
Well, now you just tell me the answer.
It's Chris Lieben versus Mark Munoz.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. That just came off the head right there. So trivia, little trivia question for you.
How did I get through all that great hair?
I don't know. Eddie, Israel Adesanya versus Marvin Vettori 2, middleweight title. These guys do not like each other. There was an 11-minute video of them being interviewed on Saturday night, part of the broadcast. A lot of bleeps, a lot of blurs. You couldn't hear things. These guys, at one point, Vettori said, "I don't like you," to which Adesanya wrote, "I hate you." That's how he responded. This was very intense. And just, you know, Vettori is an angry guy in general, but these guys took it to another level.
Yeah, very reminiscent of Cormier and Jones, but with an international flair.
But they knew that the cameras were recording. With those guys, they didn't know they were being recorded when that happened. Vettori obviously said he's seen the blueprint, right? He's seen Jan Blachowicz, how he won, that he's going to wrestle him as well. Same fight, you know, Adesanya in that last title fight that he had against for the light heavyweight title. They fought back in 2018, same building. It was a split decision when one judge gave the fight to Vettori. The other two obviously gave it to Adesanya. Vettori since then has gone on to win five fights in a row. Adesanya won eight fights in a row. I will say Adesanya's win streak since then, much more impressive, obviously, because he's been fighting killers over and over again. And Vettori at that time, I don't think neither fighter was ranked. So, you know, he kind of went back to fight, you know, non-ranked and then worked his way back up. Just fought Kevin Holland just recently and Jack Hermanson. And Carl Roberson, I think, was the other win. Those are the big wins on that five-fight win streak.
I'd say only one of them is on a winning streak right now.
That's true. Only one of them is on that winning streak right now. Not at middleweight, though. Israel is at a winning streak in middleweight as well. Eddie, I'm going to assume that you're going to pick Marvin Vettori. You hate Israel Adesanya for some reason. And I'm obviously, you're going to point that he's going to use the Jan Blachowicz way to win. So tell me, how do you see this fight going, Eddie?
I actually think Adesanya is going to be able to keep it standing. You know, Marvin Vettori is a big, strong guy, but he's not Blachowicz's size. So, and you know, Adesanya, for the last few months, has been drilling his wrestling nonstop. You know, what else do you do when you lose like that? And he's got something to prove, and it's a guy he hates, and he's got the superior striking and the quickness. So I am going to go with Adesanya. I still hate the back and forth and the yapping, but I got to go with Adesanya. Marvin Vettori, he's got a lot to prove too, though, because he still thinks that he won the previous fight. But you also got to wonder who the judges are this time too.
Yeah, no, interesting, right? But he's got it. You know, Vettori's coming in there. He's got a chip on his shoulder, right? You mentioned he thinks that he won that fight. He definitely believes that he won that fight.
I think he's just always angry.
Anyway. Adesanya came back. He said, "Look, I am going to finish this. I will stop you. I'm going to leave, no doubt." What's going to be different, right? Going from three rounds to five rounds. That fight before was a three-round fight. This time it will be five rounds. So I'm hoping it's a great fight. I mean, Adesanya has been in some amazing fights. The Kelvin Gastelum one, obviously. Yeah. Hopefully we'll see.
He does have a habit of getting hit too much, though.
Yeah. And Vettori could.
Yeah, Gastelum should never have hit him as much as he did.
Well, Vettori can put you down. So that's going to be a great main event. In the co-main event, we got Deiveson Figueiredo.
This is still the show.
This, you know what? It was great last time. I think that what we expected to happen in the first fight, to me, what we expected to happen in the first fight, I think Deiveson Figueiredo is going to run, you know, rough shot through Brandon Moreno? I don't. I do think he stops him. I think Figueiredo wins. I think he's going to look better than the last fight, and I think he wins this fight.
Well, you know, I shouldn't put too much on this fight because every time we do that, it doesn't live up to expectations. So I'm going to talk down on this fight and kind of bring it back down to earth. Because last fight, if it wasn't for, was it Joanna and Xiaoling Wang, it would have been fight of the year.
Yeah, it was
good.
That
was an amazing fight. Back and forth, just slugfest. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Now, we can't expect that to happen again.
Rematches don't always happen that way.
Yeah, that would just be too much for us to handle. So I'm going to bring my expectations back down to earth.
Yeah, Figueiredo lost the last fight because of he lost a point due to a groin strike. Right, so he would have won that fight had that not happened. But Moreno showed a ton of heart, dude. There were some rough rounds, and you've got to come away being a fan of both these guys leaving that fight. I'm going to pick Figueiredo. Who are you picking, Eddie?
I got to go with Figueiredo too, but I just love watching the Assassin Baby. One of the best nicknames ever.
Yeah, real good.
You got to wonder what the hell it means.
Leon Edwards versus Nate Diaz, 5-round fight. A fight was supposed to happen in Houston in front of you, Eddie, but it didn't in the rare occasion.
The fight that Houston lost.
Nate Diaz had to postpone the fight. Obviously, a win for Nate changes the landscape of the welterweight division. But it's interesting, right? Dana White's already come out and said that Colby Covington is getting the next title shot against Kamaru Usman. So a win for Leon Edwards doesn't vault him to that title shot next.
Well, that depends on how much you believe what comes out of Dana's mouth, which is usually about 35%.
Well, I definitely don't believe that they are high on Leon Edwards. So, I mean, that's easy to
believe. They're not. And that's why he needs this fight against Nate Diaz. And if he can prove himself and put on a show against Nate Diaz, kind of make a name for himself, and then have a good call-out afterwards, he could shoot himself right past Colby Covington because he actually would deserve it more.
Yeah, maybe. All right, Damian Maia versus Bilal Muhammad. That's going to happen. I like that one. Lauren Murphy versus Joanne Calderwood. Could be a number one contenders fight. You got Drew Dober versus Brad Riddell.
Your boy.
Paul Craig versus Jamahal Hill. I like those. Hey, let's go to Bellator on Friday night. You got Douglas Lima fighting Yaroslav Amosov. That's probably the best fight that Bellator could put on for a welterweight title. You got Amosov, who's 25-0. Six fights in Bellator. He's got wins over guys like Eric Silva, Gerald Harris, Ed Ruth, David Rickles, NCAA Division I All-American Logan Storley. He's a three-time world sambo champion. He's from Ukraine. Obviously, Douglas Lima is incredible. Maybe one of the best Bellator fighters there is, right there with Pitbull. But this is great, man. This is a great fight to put on as a showcase at the top of the card.
Yeah, Amosov is one of those guys who's like the best fighter you've never heard of.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny because this card is filled with names you know fighting against names you don't know. So you got Paul Daly at the Paul Daly weight of 175.
Jason Jackson's good, though. Don't sleep on him.
Yeah. Oh, no. Your boy Aaron Pico. We've got Tywin Claxton. Nick Newell's back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is a fun card to watch.
Yeah.
If you can find the prelims on Showtime, because that's, for Bellator, because you never know where they are.
Yep, maybe I like Facebook. It. And then on Thursday night, Eddie, Anthony Pettis looking to come back after that that lackluster performance he had against Clay Collard. But I don't want to bury the lead. Clarissa Shields is making her MMA debut against Brittany Elkin. She's 3-6 in her – Elkin is 3-6 in her pro career. She's lost 3 in a row, including a loss to Kayla Harrison. But she's a BJJ brown belt, and Shields obviously new to grappling. It's going to be lightweights and featherweights. They're going to be showcased on Thursday night. You're also going to see we mentioned Anthony Pettis, but Clay Collard, Bubba Jenkins, Lance Palmer, Natan Schulte. So there's going to be some fun fights on this card, man. So
yeah, and Shields said it's no secret her objective is to keep her butt in the center and stay off the cage.
Yeah. All right, Eddie, thanks so much for listening, guys. It's been great. Stay tuned. Justin and Stu, Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. Follow us at Fight Night ATX on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. We are proud to be the MMA resource right here for 104.9 The Horn and HornFM.com. Thanks so much, and we will catch you next week.
Be safe, get vaccinated, stay positive, and love your life. And if we ever didn't thank you, let us do it now.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.